Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pools in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land. Okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with, usually, if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions. And that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills. And then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively, and you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on, with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folks got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folks must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? March has never changed anything.
Okay. I'm up here. I was just outside wrestling with the dogs. Today's podcast is titled Solar Cooking. That's it, simply Solar Cooking. We have an event and a live stream number 619-768-2945. We have an event coming up. We've got four scheduled, but I think I had to schedule five more. Called Solar Cooking with Solar Chef LA, which I'm the solar chef. We've got the 12-hour events, and we teach people how to solar cook. Teach them two fundamental ways to solar cook. Anything that you can cook in your kitchen, you can essentially solar cook, but they have different types of solar apparatuses. So we're going to, during this event, and we're doing it through Airbnb. So the first activity is we show people how to solar cook. Now, of course, the weather has got to cooperate. So if it's a clear day and the wind isn't blowing like real harsh, then we'll have success at solar cooking. And solar cooking is done best between the hours, depending on the time of the year, and where you are on the planet, between 8:30 a.m. in the morning to no later than 3 in the afternoon. I typically, when I solar cook, I do it around 10 to 12. So the solar cooking event, which is a healthy way to eat, it's delicious and it's based on the sun. So we have an event. So anybody interested in attending that event, like I said, we're doing this through an Airbnb platform. It's a 12-hour event. The first activity is solar cooking, where you'll actually solar cook your lunch or dinner. We might get maybe two meals out of that. And like I said, you got to roll with the sun. Okay, you got to roll with the elements. So it's not like you can work your 9 to 5 and then come home and then solar cook. No, the sun is not in the, although the sun might be still out, it's too late in the day to solar cook. It's got to be those, actually the peak hours for me is like from 10 a.m. to maybe 1:30. That's when I like solar cooking. On a clear day, but typically depends on what you want to do, because you can bake a cake, you can do cupcakes, you can bake things, make pot stews, cook beans, whatever. So I would say on a clear day you might be able to start at 8:30 a.m. and then by the time you come back from a traditional 9-to-5 job, that meal is right, it's hot, it's not burnt. All right, but there are some ways to, depending on the solar cooking apparatus you use, that you can burn up stuff too. So anyway, that's a 12-hour event. The first activity will be solar cooking. We'll teach you two ways to do that, where you'll prepare a meal using solar energy. And then the second activity, which takes up the bulk of the day, because like I said, it's a 12-hour event. Most of the 12 hours are going to be spent on building a solar home. So that's activity two. Anybody who's interested, that we've got 4 dates for the state of Illinois, the last 2 Saturdays in September and the first 2 Saturdays in October. Text me at 202-280-5153, and then I'll text you back a link so you can read up on it if you're interested in signing up for it. So that's, text me at 202-280-5153. Interested in solar cooking event or experience, because that's what it is. And then I'll text you back the event, and like I said, they'll give you the dates, how to sign up, and then like I said, there are 2 activities. Solar cooking is activity 1. Activity 2 is building a solar home. Okay. All right. Anyway, so if you got any questions on solar cooking or solar cabins, what's this? Last year number 619-768-2945. And we're also going to have that's an experience. Experience is like less than 24 hours. Then we're going to have some solar events. So I'm working on one right now. An event is something that lasts, it's overnight. you know, where you're sleeping and your meals included and all that. So I'm working on that as well. And I'm looking at the solar event that might, the solar house building event, and that might last 3 nights, 4 days, 3 nights, something like that. Or maybe, I don't know, the best one I went to was six nights, 7 days and 6 nights. I might craft it something like that. So a person can, well, anyway, I got to complete it, but it'll include accommodation, whatever. But what I just talked about, the solar cooking thing, that 12-hour event will include food and supplying water. Anything more than water, that's on you, but as you need to stay hydrated. Okay, 619-768-2945 is our number for the live stream. And if you're interested in that event, 202-280-5153, and then I'll text me that you're interested, then I'll text you back the link so you can read over the event. Where, and then, because this, what I'll text you back is the link, that's for Illinois. But if you want it in your neck of the woods, let me know where your neck of the woods are, you know, might be. And then we'll see if we can craft something for your neck of the woods globally. Because I've gotten interest from Southeast Asia, some guy in India, and then a person in Uganda. First, we got to see if we're open to it, and then we got to write it up and submit it. Then that's got to get approved, and then that's how that goes. So it's a little bit of process with that. Anyway, so let's go to 314 area code. Your mic is open.
L.A., what's been going on?
Off the mic, planning events and learning new things so I can plan events. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I haven't talked to you in a while. Did you see that last email I sent you? I ran across
it. I got the one on the solar wasn't working. I remember, yeah,
it wasn't working well
with it.
Because, yeah, it wasn't working well because he got caught up in an ice storm and he had it mounted on his pop up trailer, which was like a tiny house. So he had to reserve.
Okay.
He built, this guy was pretty ingenious though. He built a little wood stove that ran off of wood pellets. He had to start it with a propane torch. You know, I said to myself, well, they're not getting, can't get away from fossil fuel after all. But no, it was interesting. I thought maybe.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, now you live in St. Louis. You built your house. Where do you, how do you heat your house up?
Well, I heat my house with natural gas. It's cheap. It's cheap
okay.
as you can get. Cutting wood is a work. I'm down south now where the temperature is pretty much moderate all year long. And I got a friend that lives down further south and on the Florida and Georgia border. He stay out there in the woods. So I got to go down there and visit him. But no, I just sent that to you and thought maybe it would be something you could have a discussion
on. I'm assuming... Yo, thanks for sending it, because I still got it. I remember the picture, too. Because I'm thinking, man, this is, I remember this, I saw that snow. I saw. It looked like wintertime, not all.
Yeah, he was driving across the highway at the northern border. I think he came out of Canada. He got caught up in a snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was in Colorado. Then he went to into the woods where they have these, I guess they have these camp-like deals for people that's pulling trailers, and he stayed there, and the temperature dropped down like below zero, and he was monitoring the temperature inside his living space and things that he'd done.
Mm.
And I think one time the temperature there was down around in the 20s or teens. And okay. He had to have some solar operation because he had a light. He was, now he may have been plugged up at a truck stop or, because he had to pull in a truck stop, or at the campsite they probably have electrical outlet. But if he didn't, he had to have a battery to keep that light that was going on inside the trailer, the little pop-up camper. He had a little ingenious wood stove that he made, and it ran off a pellet.
Mm-hmm.
And he could heat water and boil water. And
you said, you know, wood pellets?
Stuff. Yeah, little wood pellets.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, check that out. It's pretty nice.
What do you think about, you familiar with corn pellets for eating?
You mean corn cob?
Well, I don't know if it's the same corn. It looks like it.
Yeah,
it
ain't popcorn. It's
but it doesn't
probably
pop.
Made from a corn cob. Huh? Yeah, it's
but it doesn't
corn.
Pop. Though.
Yeah, it's probably made from corn cob. I don't know how you're going to treat corn, a kernel of corn, where it doesn't pop when you heat it up. That's just...
Well, all I know is they have the... You can look it up online. They got these corn stoves,
mm-hmm.
and they might make it out of the cob part. But I've seen a few in operation, and the homeowners of it, you know, they got a corn bill, but it's
mm-hmm.
it's not like it's they're not getting nothing from the local utility company, so.
Mm-hmm.
And their homes seem to be pretty they were nicely warm, you know. They may have 3 month winters, places like that. They have like what I call four real seasons. You know, when it's winter, that's with 3 months. Spring, those type of places.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something. The most efficient that I've seen is them thermal heaters. That's what people bore a hole into the ground. And I don't know exactly how far they go. But
oh,
you know,
you're talking about geothermal?
Geothermal.
That's what they call it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because the temperature is pretty much consistent.
Right, yeah. I understand in Iceland, they have even the tall buildings there. That's how they heat there.
Yeah, and you can do the same thing in your backyard by lacing pipe. After you dig down, lace pipe back and forth and pump air through there. And that can also be the air for you if you got a furnace. But you know, the temperature, and once you go down so far, is pretty much constant. And the idea of it, like I said before, if you take that air where the temperature is about 50 degrees, say 55 degrees, well, the heat is up to where it's comfortable in your house, which is, say, what, 75? You only got to go 25 degrees. But if you take mm-hmm. air from outside in the wintertime when the temperature is 20 degrees, well, then you got to heat that air up another 55 degrees to get it to where it's comfortable in your house, and it costs more energy to do so.
All right, let me ask you this, because you live in a city that's got a lot of infrastructure, St. Louis. Does that pass zoning there? Can a residential homeowner do that there? Because you got so much infrastructure there.
There are some communities where it is going on. Now, once you have your lot, you can pretty much do whatever the heck you want to with it. You know what
in
I'm saying?
St. Louis?
Yeah, if you got a building lot, you can do what you want to with it. You want to put in a thermal? They're not going to stop you.
Well, now what about can you on a residential lot in St. Louis? Because I know you can't do it in Washington D.C., but two different cities. If you wanted to put in a well for water,
no, it wouldn't be feasible. You got public water. Yeah. I mean, plus you're taking a chance. You don't know what that water is. Now, when I was digging the foundation of my house, I ran into a natural stream, and I had to put in a tile to take it you know, on down in where I let it over to the sewer. But I wouldn't drink no water nowhere near a city, because you don't know what you drink unless you analyze it. City water is too cheap.
Yeah, well,
gas is too cheap. Yeah, you know, natural gas.
I don't like paying utility companies.
Well, you're gonna have to move out in the rural area.
Yeah, I'm in a semi rural area right here.
But it's just a person's taste, and sometimes it gets to be a hobby. Like
right.
What that gentleman was doing.
Right, that's true.
Hey, I'm down south, and heck, I can save money here that I don't have to. Well, I don't have to spend money here at the level that I would if I was up there up north.
You're still in Louisiana?
Yeah, gas is cheaper. Electricity is cheaper.
Okay.
Yeah, when it gets down to things that pertaining to the consequences of this area, you know, low lying have slow drainage of water, even to the points of floods. Then things that's associated that's affected by that is going to cost more money. Certain foods is cheap. Chicken is cheap. But certain vegetables, you can't, they don't have as readily as you do up north. So you like greens. You like cabbage, mustard, and collard greens. Well, they're not as readily available around here as they are up there, up north.
And you know what? That's tomorrow's podcast. We might talk about the environment and the availability, and then your body, body's ability to adjust. Because I've been on YouTube, just you know, looking at some videos and whatnot. And one guy made a comment that he says there's going to be a mass exodus of black folk out of the United States to go back to Africa. And I debated him on it because I don't think that's going to happen. Because
yeah,
number one,
blacks ain't going on.
It's a small percentage of us that have passports. Number two, a lot of us are comfortable. And then even number three, for the ones that are willing to go and can afford to go, then we're talking about, you know, the climate here is not, you know, even if you live in Florida, that subtropical climate is completely different than what it is here. And then food water and all these other things.
Yeah, blacks has got vested interest in the United States. You got a vested interest in the
people.
That's
the big reason
for.
Why there will not be any mass exodus out.
Yeah,
you're
on Social Security, you got to touch foot on the U.S. soil every so often, unless you make some other kind of arrangement with the embassy over there.
Social Security, you got people that are on some of these entitlement programs, Section 8, whatever, or regular homeowners, private homeowners, or it could be family. But
you can't use Medicare.
I can't see a mass exodus because we have too much of a vested interest in this country.
You can't use Medicare in another country, by the way.
Didn't know that. And that's another thing. A lot of the things we have here, you're live without a net in another place. So if you get sick, you just sick.
Yeah, their household is really bad at the present time.
Yeah. So, tomorrow I think we're gonna cover that. Anyway, I've been cutting it short for the last couple of months, so because we're doing stuff offline. So thank you for calling.
Thank
you all for listening. All right, talk to you later.